You've been very active locally talking about municipal fiber and broadband. Can you give me a little bit, get me up to speed on that?
Sure. We actually already in Bellingham own a publicly owned fiber optic network. The city uses it for its own purposes. What we're talking about is using that resource so that people can get better choices, especially net neutral choices, better speeds, and lower their cost.
So what would this look like? Is there a model city implementation that you're basing this off of?
Yeah, well, our one city very close to us, Mount Vernon, Washington, has a open access network, which is what we would want to base this off of. They have 9 providers on that network. There are also a lot of other cities that have been very successful. Santa Monica, California, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Fort Collins, Colorado has been in the news. Over 450 cities in the United States have successfully done this. And the San Juan Islands also have done this to some extent, and they are using it to help maintain net neutrality.
So not all cities have been successful. I mean, the most famous failure was Provo, Utah. Mm-hmm. What have you learned from looking at their experience?
It's important when we look at this to understand that this takes place over a long period of time. So we had a pilot project in Bellingham back in, I believe it was 2008, 2009, that part of it ended up being sold off. However, the necessity for broadband continues to grow, and especially with the loss of net neutrality, undermines our rights as American citizens. So there's a law called Nielsen's Law of Internet Bandwidth that says that the need for bandwidth grows 50% every 18 months. So our needs throughout all this time, even with some of these failures, the needs have continued to grow. And we pay 10 times the rate in the United States for broadband they do in other developed countries, a gigabit, which is 1,000 megabits, both down and up. In Japan, for example, is $25 a month. In Kansas City is $70 a month. Here, you're lucky if you can get close to that for $200 a month. And so, yeah, there have been a couple of failures. But on the whole, this has been very good for cities that have done it. It has definitely increased their local self-reliance, which is something we have to ask ourselves about, too. What if, you know, worst case scenario, the economy collapsed or something like that? How would we still do communications? Right now, our infrastructure in Bellingham is very poor. We rely on a lot of private companies to provide these services. And yes, they have contracts. They're not supposed to go anywhere if something happens. But how many of us really believe that these companies will honor those contracts if, you know, we got into a worst case scenario? What we want to do is get to providers that live in the community and care about it. And some of those providers have already committed to net neutrality. PogoZone, for example, is staying committed to net neutrality. And they provide a lot of point-to-point wireless up here, but they provide tons of fiber down in fiber access down in Mount Vernon. And that fiber, of course, is owned publicly. We have HamsterNet ISP Co-op looking to get started, and they have pre-committed to net neutrality.
What is your kind of vision for the technology? Because, you know, it comes in a lot of different forms. There's fiber to point and then wireless. There's fiber to the home.
No matter what broadband solution you go with, you have to back it up with fiber. This is one of these things that's in debate right now. 5G wireless, they don't expect a full standard for that to be out until 2022. To really do 5G wireless correctly, you need to put small cells at pretty much every street corner. Those small cells have to be hooked up to fiber. The bandwidth from the macro tower to these small cells, a lot of times you have to reserve bandwidth for the small cells so they don't interfere with each other. The bandwidth for fiber, which has no problems with interference or these other issues, is starting to be referred to as unlimited by a lot of reporters because the technology just keeps developing so fast. So the truth is that fiber and really any other broadband technology are complementary. They're not at odds with each other. So we need to understand that we need to have fiber and we need to have as much of it as we can. The best way to do it would be to establish a dig once policy.
Can you expand on that a little?
A dig once policy, Mount Vernon has given us their documentation for it, and that's what I've suggested we follow with a couple of modifications. I think we should be doing 3x3, which is 2 3-inch pipes. for our conduit installations. Basically, it says that whenever we dig up a road, when developers are building new communities, et cetera, they'll just start to put in conduit by default. And the conduit is not very expensive. And that would, it would be smart for them to also put in conduit and fiber, but we definitely need the conduit. Once the conduit's in place, co-ops, other private providers can start using the conduit to run fiber through, to hook up to wireless devices if they want to or whatever. But it starts by having conduit. It also starts by getting access to the resources we already have. Because again, the city already has a fiber network that providers have asked for access to, and they've refused them access to it. Not necessarily with, or I shouldn't say necessarily, not with very good excuses.
Would this be a project run by the city? Would this be a public-private partnership?
Well, in the state of Washington, we have some strange laws. Doing direct municipal fiber to a residence or a business is not something you could do in the state of Washington. I would like to see that, and Senator Rolfes in District 27 keeps putting out legislation to make that possible. In the meantime, what we want is an open access network like they have in Mount Vernon, which basically the public owns the fiber. The city, you know, is involved in managing it to some extent. But most of the heavy lifting is done by the providers and co-ops on that network, including tech support calls, including maintenance. So it's really actually very low risk for the city to do. They're not going to be really heavily involved. Initially with installations, which they already do anyway, but the grand majority of the work is going to be done by the providers and co-ops.
So you mentioned the poor state of our existing communications infrastructure. Mm-hmm. That poor state extends also to the rest of our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. What makes this a priority now over repairing bridges and roads?
Because this should be done, well, one, it's a priority because Bellingham has 6% perpetual unemployment. A third of the people in Bellingham earn $25,000. That includes some families. $25,000 or less a year. We need the jobs and educational opportunities, next generation jobs that come with a technological infrastructure like this. This would be done in concert with other infrastructure improvements that we need to be doing. And again, is not the most expensive thing that is done when any of these improvements are done. So it's really always been a priority. It's something we should have been doing over the last few decades, and unfortunately haven't. But we need to get on this bandwagon, or we are not going to have the resources we need to compete. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, has guaranteed a 50 megabits down, 10 up connection, which is what we pay, I think, around $60 a month to Comcast for, right, as a basic right to their citizens. We aren't even close to that, right? And they're essentially an economic competitor to us, especially with our geographical location. So we don't want to get marooned with the San Juans doing it, with Mount Vernon doing it, with Canada doing it. We're basically surrounded by communities that are doing this.
Can you go into a little bit more what you're talking about with those up and down?
Sure. So what we're talking about is the amount of data that you move in a second. So 50 megabits down and 10 up is the connection that most people have at home. In Japan, for $25 a month, you would get 1,000 megabits down and 1,000 megabits up.
It seems like policies like that build conduits when you're building a road, mm-hmm. and things like that. That seems fairly straightforward. Why isn't that happening already?
I've met with city officials about this, including the Public Works Director, Ted Carlson. He says that it is done when practical. So they haven't started installing a little bit of 2x2 conduit for themselves, but again, they refuse the public access to it.
And 2x2 conduit is?
2 inch by 2 inch. And so when practical, that's not a commitment to anything. They determine when practical is. We need an overlying dig once policy that will basically just guarantee that we start putting this critical infrastructure in whenever we do a repair. Right now, you can imagine a situation where, you know, they'll put down all the asphalt and all the concrete and everything and then be like, oh, well, we should have also done this. Well, then you have to tear the road back up again. So you want to make sure that you're saving the most money as well in the first place and just putting this stuff in up front whenever you do any repair. We have to start to think of infrastructure in 60 to 100 year terms, which, by the way, fiber's super durable and has no problems with electromagnetic interference or any problems that other technologies have. And it lasts 60 to 100 years. So we want to, again, be putting in conduit and fiber whenever we can.
Since the early 90s, nationally, we have spent in the neighborhood of $500 billion to telecommunications companies to expand broadband access across the country. And we have seen for that very little. And so I'm a little uncomfortable when we start talking about spending more. How are we going to make sure that this project has accountability and we're actually getting what we're paying for?
And that's a really good point. There was an article released recently. Yeah, we gave $400 billion to the big telecom companies and they mostly ran away with it. We gave so much money to them that every American should already have a fiber to the home connection. The historical reference I can think of is the Transcontinental Railroad, where the railroad builders thought Lincoln would be so involved in the Civil War, he wouldn't be able to chase them down. And so they put him about a mile of track in, and then they stopped and ran away with the money. And he did stop and hold them accountable. So we need to have people in government that are excited about helping their communities and will hold the telecoms accountable instead of rolling out the red carpet for them and letting them do whatever they want, which is the situation that we're in. And we also need to find out where this money went. It blows my mind that, you know, this current administration in November, they did 8 creepy things as well as get rid of net neutrality the next month. One of those things they said was reasonable copper to fiber upgrades. So what they're planning on doing is just giving the same amount of money to the telecoms again that already stole it and ran away with it. And so we need to build public networks where we know exactly what's going in and our government can hold the installers accountable. But we also need to have people in key positions that will hold them accountable. So we need to hold our government accountable. We need people in government that will hold others accountable. And we need to stop making contracts with telecoms that, let's be honest, Comcast, CenturyLink, Verizon, AT&T, we let them get away with charging us 10 times as much as every other developed country, and they turned around and paid us for our loyalty by attacking our First Amendment rights via taking away net neutrality. So we need to stop doing business with these companies.
So if people are looking to get more information about what you're doing and how to get involved, what can they do?
They should go to change.org, and in the upper right-hand corner, search for Bellingham Public Fiber. I'm available to speak at events. I just spoke at the Bellingham Linux Users Group on January 4th. I'm happy to speak to neighborhood associations. And they should check out sites like Community Broadband Networks, talk to Christopher Mitchell, Community Broadband Networks, and check and see what Mount Vernon is doing. There's tons of information out there about communities that have done this successfully, and it's more important now than ever.
Well, thank you very much, John.
Thank you.